الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
There are many blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has reported to have said that the one who recites salat upon me, his salat reaches me. I make istighfar for him, and besides this, 10 virtues are written for him. Subhanallah. Now when we meet somebody pious, what's the first thing that we do? We say, Hazrat, please can you make dua for us? Please can you ask for forgiveness for us? With this hadith of Mubarakah, it gives enlightenment to the heart that if you read Durood as Salam upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make dua for you. What an opportunity. The best of creation praying in the court of Allah azawajal for our forgiveness. And not only that, but we get 10 virtues written for us as well. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Islam is a very beautiful religion. And every life, every aspect of our life is beautifully coordinated. And if one looks at the early Islamic era, what we found was that there was a very blissful society. In the golden age of Islam, not only was the beautiful deen flourishing, but because of the beauty of this deen, the world was benefiting. Now when it comes to systems for the help and the benefit of people, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Islam taught the world cleanliness. Islam taught the world how to irrigate, for example, crops. Islam taught the world how to live your life in a beautiful way. And in the golden era of Islam, it was so amazing that people were working in the field, people were planting trees, people were working to help others. Now we've all had the opportunity throughout our lifetime to sit in the shade of a tree, no doubt. But have we ever thought back to see that this tree may have been planted by somebody 30, 40, 50 years ago? That person who planted it knew that he was never going to sit in the shade of it. But he knew that there were generations to come. Maybe my children, my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren would sit under the shadow of this tree, the shade of this tree, and enjoy the peace. They made fruits from this tree. And this was the vision that these people had. Now you'd be surprised to note that planting trees in Islam has a very special place. And this has been the way of the glorious companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the amazing teachings Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this world. When you look around today, you see that there are all these campaigns to grow more trees because trees have a lot of benefits. And I'll briefly deal with those as well. But it's only in the last 50, 100 years with the greenhouse effect and everything else that the scientists have said we need to protect the trees because the trees effectively are the lungs of the world which keep it going. Let me share with you a beautiful hadith of Mubarakah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and now think about this, this is in the era where nobody had any rights. People were being, the basic rights were being trampled upon, people were being oppressed and tortured. And at that time, our beautiful Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not only gave the slaves their rights, not only gave women their rights, not only gave children their rights, parents their rights, and everybody, even the animals were given their rights. But at the same time, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that planting trees was something very special. Now, Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything that a Muslim plants and then a human, animal or bird eats from it, it will become sadqah for him until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So the tree that you plant, you may, you know, pass away and go, but if that tree stays there for 100 years, everybody who sits under its shade, everybody who benefits from that tree, everybody who eats its fruit, you get reward for that. In another hadith in Mubarakah, this is not just one off hadith in Mubarakah, there is another hadith in Mubarakah, whoever planted a tree and then bore patiently upon preserving it and taking care of it until it began to bear fruit, then every fruit that is eaten from it will be sadqah in the court of the Almighty, before the Almighty. Subhanallah. So Islam encourages us, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sunnah Mubarak, encourages us to plant trees and to increase the benefit that others would get. And this is why the glorious companions used to do this regularly. Now, in today's era, there are all these campaigns ongoing for trees. And we should try and participate in those simply for this reason, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and on the thinking, on the Madani mindset, that this is a beautiful sunnah of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this amal is proven from the beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the companions used to do this as well. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala was once planting a walnut tree, and a person passing by him said, you have reached a very old age. You're so old that you're near the time of your death. So you won't be able to eat the fruit of this tree. Rather, others are going to eat it. And listening to this, the great companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, replied, I know that, but others will eat the fruit. However, I will receive the reward even after my death. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at the beautiful mindset of the companions. Now, if you get the opportunity, whether it's here in the European countries or when you're back in your own country, try and plant trees. And what the scholar says, obviously take care to plant them on your own land. Don't plant them on land belonging to others. Don't plant them where they're going to harm others. So if you plant a tree next to somebody's house, and when the roots get big, if they're going to affect his house, don't do that, because that's not what Islam teaches us. Islam is a very caring, very beautiful religion. So when you do that, make sure that you plant trees so that everybody can benefit from them, and you harm nobody, and everybody can have the fruit and the shade from them. If you can't do that, at least decorate your lives, your gardens, your houses with small plants. Water them regularly and watch them blossom and boom. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, know that these plants could be a way of getting reward in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know that these plants and this greenery do the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if there are plants around our house, not only are they doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, but when you see a flower blossoming, a beautiful rose or another flower coming out, what is the first thing that comes to your lips? Subhanallah, how beautiful that is. And as soon as you've said Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, the purpose of the creation of that thing has, you know, reached the next level, because that was why it was created. It was created for you to look at this amazing creation of Allah Azza wa Jal and praise and glorify Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you have these decorative plants around your house and you see the flowers coming out, then proclaim the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal, and good intentions. You know, the first intention you make, whether you have a plant or planting a tree, this is the practice of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way of the noble Sahaba. And by helping plant this tree or having this plant, inshallah, I'm going to help the environment, and the air that people breathe is going to be cleaner. And therefore, I'm helping my fellow Muslims as well. And this is a sadaqah in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the future, many of us know that we need a lot of furniture, tree, paper, etc. All this comes from trees. Now, let's not be selfish, because Islam teaches us about others. So let's think about our future generations and plant those trees now, so that inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, maybe our children, maybe their children will benefit from the trees we plant today. So try and make this a habit and try and decorate your houses. And whenever you see these huge trees, right, you know, whether you've planted them or not, there is a golden opportunity to increase your deeds. How? Look at it. Look at how amazing they are, how beautiful they are, how symmetrical they are, how the leaves are, how the branches are, and how the fruit is hanging down and everything. And once you look at that, you think, SubhanAllah, look at that tree. SubhanAllah, look at the beauty of this one. SubhanAllah, look at the beauty. Alhamdulillah, Allah, it's an amazing creation. And the more you start to do that every time you go out, firstly, it helps to protect your gaze because you're not looking at the wrong things, you're looking at the right things. And then as well as that, you are making witnesses. You're glorifying Allah by looking at this plant, looking at this tree, looking at this flower, and that will may pay testimony to your zikr of Allah on the Day of Judgment, and that could be our salvation on the Day of Judgment. So try and do that, and try and decorate your houses with these plants. Salu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we're in the beautiful days of Dhul Hajj. This month is a very, very special month. These days are very special days. The glorious Quran says in Surah Fajr, verses 1 and 2, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, by the oath of that dawn and by the 10 nights. Now, Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, these 10 nights refer to the 10 nights of Dhul Hajj, because this is the time to become engaged in the rituals of Hajj. And it is by virtue of these 10 days and nights that there are many, many hadith mubarakah which tell us about the amazing status of these. And today I'm going to share with you these, but listen to them with the Madani mindset, that although I may not have realized the importance of these 10 days, we thought they were just for the Hajjis and the Hajjis can benefit from them. But listen to this with the intention that I'm going to try and plan these 10 days that are approaching me fast, and I'm going to try and maximize my deeds. The first hadith of Mubarakah, he, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, said, there is no days more esteemed before Allah Almighty than the 10 days of Dhul Hajj, nor is any righteous action more beloved to Him than the righteous action of these days. Therefore, make in abundance tahleel, la ilaha illallah, takbir, Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed, alhamdulillah, during these days. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no days more superior before Allah Almighty than 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Subhanallah. In another hadith in Mubarakah, Tirmizi Sharif, Hakak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the days in which Allah Almighty is worshipped, there is no day more beloved than the 10 days of Dhul Hajj. The fast of each day, excluding the 10th of Dhul Hajj, is equal to the fast of 1 year. And the standing each night, including the 10th, is equal to standing in Laylatul Qadr. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine that? So we are encouraged to fast for these 10 days, and we're encouraged to stand in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, because these 10 days are very special in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith in Mubarakah, Shu'b al-Iman, says this, there is no day more superior to Allah Azza wa Jal than these 10 days of Dhul Hajj. Therefore recite, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, abundantly during these days. In another narration it is mentioned that recite, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, abundantly, and perform the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal abundantly in these days, and that fast of one day is equal to the fast of 1 year, and an action is multiplied 700 times during these days. Subhanallah. Did we know about this? We thought Dhul Hajj in the first 10 days was simply for the Hajjis to do their Hajj, to go from Makkah to Al-Mukarramah to Mina Sharif to Muzdalifah, and the journey of the Arafat, Muzdalifah, the journey of Hajj. But actually, these 10 days were very blessed for all of us. It's not a case of watching the Hajj on television and letting them do everything because we haven't gone, and us carrying on with our lives. No, these are very special days. And by the wasila of the Naik Hajjis, you know, the Ashikane Rasul who are on Hajj, may Allah accept our du'as as well. This is a very precious time. Bukhari Sharif, another hadith in Mubarakah, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the action performed during the 10 days of Hajj is more beloved to Allah Almighty than the action performed in any other days. The noble companions asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even fighting in the way of Allah azawajal? And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, even fighting in the way of Allah azawajal. Except for that individual who goes out with his life and his wealth and does not return with any of them. Allahu Akbar. These 10 days are very, very special. We need to increase our deeds. If we've been indulging in sin, we've been doing the wrong thing, this is the time to repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. These 10 days of Zulhijjah are very special. The mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is looking to forgive His devotees, to forgive the sinners. It's our time to turn to our Creator. These are the days that we are reminded of the beautiful Sunnah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And every year, millions of Muslims not only descend upon the Holy Kaaba and perform the Hajj, but also, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, billions of people around the world perform the Qurbani. What an amazing sight this is. In Surah Qasr, Allah Azza wa Jal commands, translation from Kanzul Iman, so you should offer salah for your Lord and sacrifice. And Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi says that in this verse, the Hanafi scholars have derived that qurbani is wajib. And then this qurbani is very, very special. But before I talk to you about the qurbani and the fact that it's wajib and the benefits of it, I'm going to share with you something really beautiful. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the great, one of the amazing messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, he has the dream that we all know about, and he has it for 3 days in a row. And the dream is that he's asked to sacrifice his son. And Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam walks on that amazing journey that's going to be remembered for eternity with his son. And the glorious Quran says and testifies to his amazing nature and this amazing event that was going to take place. And since the world was created till the world ended, you will not get a scene like this. The Quran says, and we called him, O Ibrahim, you have indeed made the dream come true, and this is how we reward the righteous ones. Indeed, this was a clear test, and we rescued him in exchange for a great sacrifice as a ransom. But let me take you back slightly and share with you something amazing. Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was such a magnificent prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, an amazing messenger. He was beloved and close in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And after our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is one of the greatest prophets. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam has been given the honor and the privilege of being the father of all the prophets that came after him, subhanallah. And every divinely revealed religion actually declares a great status for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and makes it obligatory to follow him, subhanallah. And the followers of every religion you will see around the world actually honor this great friend of Allah azza wa jalla. Look at the amazing status of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Sacrifice is performed in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's done because of what Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam did on that amazing day. And I'm going to share with you this, because just imagine the scene. You know, Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is there with his son. He lays him down, he's about to sacrifice him, and he's about to fulfill the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was specific to Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. This was a great test for him. And what happens? Hazrat Jibreel Amin is given the order to get a ram from Jannah and to present it in the court of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So as the angels are watching this scene, that this father is about to sacrifice his son, he is given the command. And he sets out from with this ram from Jannah, and on the way he proclaims the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And upon hearing this, the great Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam looks up and realizes that the test from Allah Azza wa Jal, this great test, He has passed and Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him relief. And he sees that a ram is being brought. And he says, Hazrat Jibreel Ameen says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He says, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, realizing this, says, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. And this is the tasbih that we read at this beautiful time. What an amazing event this was. There were a lot of madni pearls in relation to the obedience of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, the courage of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. But today we're going to concentrate on Qurbani. Now a lot of people, they don't realize that this Qurbani is wajib. Now as Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi notes that the Hanafi scholars say that it is wajib, if you possess a certain amount of wealth, then you have to do it. It's not a case of, well, if I get around to it, I'll do it. This is from the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is a fundamental of deen, and you have to do it. So don't be lazy about it. A lot of brothers, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, they're so fortunate that what they do is when it comes to Qurbani, it is a presentation in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, so they give more than they have to. You know, even if it's one share, they'll go for more because it's almost a gift in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then from their parents, maybe they've passed away or they're alive, they'll give a special Qurbani for them. And then the most beautiful thing I find about Qurbani is so many brothers, they do their Qurbani for the mother of their children, themselves, their parents and everything else. And then right at the end, they say, this Qurbani now, this goat or this share, especially for my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a Qurbani, and did Qurbani for his ummats, you know, and for the asali swab of his ummat and to help his ummat. So the least we can do is present something in the court of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in relation to Qurbani, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us many beautiful hadith and barakah. Let me share a few with you. The one who performs Qurbani receives reward for each hair of the Qurbani animal. SubhanAllah, how amazing is that? That's probably, just as a guesstimate, millions of hair, so millions of good deeds by virtue of doing Qurbani in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then another hadith in Mubarakah. Whoever performed Qurbani with a willing heart and while hoping for reward, it will be a barrier to the fire of hell. Don't look at it as an obligation. Don't think, well, I'm stuck now, I'm going to have to do it, and it's going to cost this much. No, be happy about it. I've got the opportunity to present a gift in the court of my Creator, who's given me all this wealth. So when you do Qurbani, you know, make it, when you do the sacrifice in the court of Allah, do it with a happy heart, do it joyfully, and say, who am I to present anything in the court of my Creator, and yet my Creator has given me this opportunity, Allah has given me this opportunity to act upon a beautiful sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following in the footsteps of the amazing and the magnificent Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the very, very forbearing and very obedient son, Hazrat Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. These are the amazing messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, and yet I get the opportunity to do Qurbani in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal following their footsteps. It's truly a blessing. It's not a burden on us. And this is how we need to look at it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to his beloved daughter, the Queen of Paradise, Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, O Fatima, remain with your Qurbani, because all of your sins will be forgiven as soon as the first drop of its blood falls. SubhanAllah. And then another hadith in Barakah in Tirmizi Sharif, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person does not perform an action on the day of Qurbani that is more beloved to Allah Almighty than spilling blood. This Qurbani will come on the day of judgment with horns, hair and hooves, and it is accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal before its blood falls to the ground. Therefore, perform Qurbani with a willing heart. SubhanAllah. Allama Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullah alayhi says, the Qurbani will be placed on the scale of your deeds, and the one who performs it, due to this, the good side will become heavier. So on the day of judgment, when we rise up and our good deeds are there and our bad deeds are there, we know individually, we may be able to, you know, fake it in front of people, but we know what our deeds are like, and we know that the bad side is going to have everything that we think we're hiding from the people and we're doing, and nobody knows about it, and everything we watch and everything we do, we think we hide it, but Allah is watching everything. And on that day, in front of the whole of the creation, when the pan of the balances, go up, and it's the opposite way, the heavier one goes up, and the bad deeds are dominating, maybe it's that qurbani that we did for the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the rizā of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, following the sunnahs of His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will save us. And Hazrat Allama Ali Qari rahmatullah says that then it will become a conveyance for him by means of which he will be able to cross the bridge of Sirat. Now the bridge of Sirat is as thin as a hair, as sharp as a sword. And some people will pass it like lightning, some will walk across it, some will crawl across it, some will sever themselves and fall into the fire of hell. And it all depends on your piety, your taqwa, your deeds. And in that state, Allahu Akbar, the qurbani that you give may come and you can ride it across the bridge of Sirat. How beautiful would that be when you're faced with this terrifying scene of this really thin bridge, people falling into the fire of hell left, right and center. And at that point, suddenly this ride comes and you get on it and get across. And that is because in the days of Qurbani, in these days that are coming, you, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the rizā of Allah Azza wa Jal, you made sacrifice and made it a habit through your life to do it with a happy heart. Subhanallah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, you know, this qurbani, subhanallah, is something special. Whoever performed qurbani with a willing heart and while hoping for reward, it will become a barrier to the fire of hell. So today, your Dawat Islami, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, helps to set up the qurbani. Your Dawat Islami arranges this. And the beauty of doing your qurbani with Dawat Islami is this, that not only is everything done under the watchful eyes of the scholars of the Deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make sure that it complies with the Shari requirements, and everything is done in accordance with the beautiful Sunnah way, but also a lot of the meat is distributed amongst the poor, and then anything that's left over, that is sold, for example, the skins, etc., and any money that is gained from there is used in the work of the Deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in making jais gum, in good work. And so in this way, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, you're giving your qurbani, it's done in a proper way, and it's fully utilized, and maximum benefit is achieved from it. The meat goes to the poor, and alhamdulillah, maybe with the money that you've given for qurbani, and that left over, some children may be supported in a madrasa, or a maybe donated to some other good cause, a building somewhere for a madrasa, or something that helps the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you haven't done your qurbani yet, contact the brothers in your local area, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, you can also arrange your qurbani and fill in the forms, and everything's done in a very full and thorough way, where you have to give your name and you have to appoint and a vakil, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, in this way you can perform this wajib with a willing heart and gain the magnificent rewards. Coming back to where I started from in relation to Dhul-Hajjah, these are very, very blessed days. Let's make it an intention. You know, we don't know whether we're going to see these days again. This year is, you know, almost coming to an end. So let's make it an intention that we couldn't go on Hajj this year. But you know what I am going to do? In these last 10 days, you know, these 10 days of Dhul-Hajj, I'm going to increase my worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going to protect my salah. I'm going to make sure that I pray my sunnahs and my nawafil. I'm going to make sure that I recite and read the Quran. How beautiful would it be in the 10 days of Dhul-Hajj if you stayed up, perhaps dedicated an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, and read a full Quran, or read the translation of the Quran with tafsir, Siratul Jinan, as much as you can in the 10 days. How beautiful would it be if you learned some sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And how magnificent it would be if you could travel in the Madni Kaflas of Dawat Islami. All over the world that they're traveling now, alhamdulillah, the restrictions have been slightly eased, and the Madni Kaflas are traveling now, and spend as many days of these 10 in the masjid, gaining the barakats and the blessings and the light from the masjid. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, the mercy of Allah Azzawajal that descends in these blessed days. May Allah Azzawajal give us all the opportunity to go to Hajj time and time again.
Amen.
But this year, even though we can't go, may Allah Azzawajal give us the opportunity to reap rewards like those Hajjis on the plains of Arafat. Keep our tongue moist in the zikr of Allah Azzawajal all the time, and keep reciting through the salam upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And maybe, alhamdulillah, even though we haven't gone on Hajj, maybe Allah Azzawajal's mercy, which knows no bounds, blesses us with the barakat, the blessings and the mercies that those Hajjis get as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
For you, smile.